Well, this next and final song is going to be one that has made me pretty famous over the last few years. It has took me a lot of places I didn't think I would be at. But it was the first time on stage, New Year's Eve 2002. Ever since then, we've had competitions. I've worn him out. Not to make me look good or anything, but that's what happened. It's called Looking for a City. Looking for a city built above. Looking for a city where I'll never die. Where the saints and millions never say goodbye. There we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, our Holy Spirit. Well, this next and final song is going to be one that has made me pretty famous over the last few years. Pretty famous.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
Sounds like an emo song from the 90s. Sounds like Dashboard Confessionals or something.
Wow. Wow.
It's Was like, that for oat milk?
It's like a business, but with no sales. I built a company without sales. Wow, wow, the repossessed in my house. Wow, wow, my wife married the pool boy.
Yeah, I've been into it since the SimCole FM days.
Yeah.
Do you remember SimCole FM?
Oh, yes, I
My successful streaming radio station.
I was on it.
Yeah, that's true.
My friend Kemi was your co-host for a little while.
Funded by oil. By Big Oil. True
that's
story.
Right.
True story. Or funded by bullshit. I'm not sure which one, how it all went down.
It was a combination.
But yeah, that's anyway. Are those boots?
Do you know the band?
Yeah. Not really. Of course I do. Yeah. Of course I do.
Can you get me
I'm gonna get front stage. Did you mean backstage? No, I mean front stage. I got front stage passes. I got front stage passes. Hey man, you passed out these flyers. We need front stage passes
all day long.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Yeah, da 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 da.
Ice, baby.
Dun 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 dun. Ice, baby. Dun 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 dun. Commercial break, baby. No, it doesn't work like that. Doesn't. It's not as good. I'm Brian Green. This is Chrissy Hoadley, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Brian.
Happy New Year, Chrissy.
It seems like our whole year is ahead of us.
Yeah, that's all we got ahead of us is time, money, energy, and effort.
Yeah.
Well, I got at least one of those things. I'm not sure. I don't know if I have any time. That's the thing about life. You don't know how much time you have left.
That's true.
So why
true.
Not waste it here in this studio talking to you,
yes.
Fine people out there.
It's basically us talking to each other and laughing.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have a ton of interaction going. I mean, we don't have any interaction in the studio. But that's why it's going to be a good idea, I think, to take the Clubhouse and do an episode,
yeah.
A bonus episode. We'll still do the regular episode from the studio, but then do a bonus episode where we record live and give people the opportunity to jump up and talk to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ask us anything.
Yeah. And I'm sure we're going to get a couple of haters. That's okay. We'll roll
yeah.
with it.
Oh,
know.
Yeah.
And not everyone. And we're not everyone.
You know you've made it when you've got haters.
Cup of potato soup. When people are hate listening, that's when you really know you've yes. made it. So go to tcbpodcast.com, tcbpodcast.com, and you can listen to all the episodes. You can see all the episodes that are on YouTube. Subscribe to YouTube if you care to do so. At The Commercial Break on Instagram, you can follow Chrissy and I on Clubhouse if you're there. At Brian Green, B-R-Y-A-N-G-R-E-E-N, at Chrissy, TCB Chrissy. That's with the K-R-I-S-S-Y.
To the
and,
Y.
Yeah, and then follow us and you'll be notified when we're getting ready to do those live episodes recorded on Clubhouse, which is just a fantastic application I've been spending a lot of time on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a match made in heaven, I think, podcasting and Clubhouse. I think the two go, they're like, you know, bread and butter.
And if you need an invite,
hot dog,
got some extras.
Hot dog and bun.
Hot dog and bun.
Chachi and Joni. Do you know who Chachi and Joni were?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they?
Were they from
Happy Days?
Happy Days.
Monday, yes. Tuesday, Happy Days. Thursday, Friday, Happy Days. Sunday, Saturday, Sunday.
Spending all week with you. These days
are ours. These happy days.
Oh, happy days.
These days are ours. These happy days are yours and mine. Happy days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where everyone was a virgin. And people...
Except for the Fonz.
Oh.
He knew he wasn't.
Well, we didn't know. He never really said it, but you could just tell
by
what he was packing in those tight jeans. The ladies were all over him.
Mm-hmm.
He'd swing those hips and hit that jukebox, and the girls would, ah, the Fonz! I'm wetting my knickers. You can't talk like that, Jackie Weaver!
Read the rules!
Read the rules, Jackie Weaver! in case you missed it, you can go back and listen to the last episode where Chrissy and I dissected a Zoom call for Hands Mouth or Hands Port or Hands Smorth or whatever
hand
it was
something.
Called. Hands something. In England, and they got a town hall or council, town council, whatever, meeting together. And Jackie Weaver, who was leading the meeting, was just ruthless. And then everyone was like, you can't do that, Jackie Weaver. You can't just throw people out, Jackie Weaver.
People were mad from the start.
Yeah, they were angry. Jackie,
talk about hate watching.
I know. Seriously.
hate interacting.
Poor Jackie Weaver. What does she ever do to anybody except kick everybody off the Zoom call? Rightly so, Jackie Weaver. I just like that name now. Jackie Weaver's a right bitch, you ask me. So at The Commercial Break on Instagram, be sure you follow us. We have a link tree there, which will connect to everything that you need to know, all of our YouTube pages, our Patreon. And if you'd like to become a financial supporter of the Patreon, of The Commercial Break, if you'd like to become a financial supporter of the Patreon, which is true also, you'll also be paying Patreon.
We would welcome it.
Yeah, patreon.com/The Commercial Break. Extra episode every week, invitations to our live events, first in line for tickets to our live shows. You are going to get it all, but all you have to do is just pay us. You're going to get it all. All you have to do is pay us for that. Did I do a good job?
It's a cost of a cup of coffee.
Yeah, it's a cost of a really expensive cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. One
so maybe
Starbucks.
Two coffees.
One venti cap of fucking whatever you drink, and you're going to get all that stuff for free.
Yeah.
Well, not for free. You're going to pay for it. Am I doing a good job of explaining this? I feel like I've gone to the left here a little bit on trying to convince people for Patreon. So we just got over with the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago, depending on when we're airing this.
Yes.
We just got over the Super Bowl. And I don't want to talk about the Super Bowl because I don't give a shit. But what I do want to talk about is...
boring.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's boring. And, you know, Tom Brady wins yet another Super Bowl is not necessarily to me... I mean, I don't give a shit. Like, the guy already has a million rings. Yeah, I mean, good for him. But do I really care?
No.
I mean, I'm not really a professional football guy anyway. I'd much rather watch college football.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of those teams I care about. And I've never been like a Patriots fan or anything like that. I know who Tom Brady is. Good for him. He's married to Giselle. Good for her. Mm-hmm. Two of the most beautiful people in the world and the richest people. You know, it's all a great situation to me, whatever. But I don't care. I didn't watch this year's Super Bowl. So there you go. But what I did do is I watched all of the commercials from the Super Bowl. And I found one particularly disturbing. And not disturbing in a way like, you know, there was anything crazy going on the commercial. Actually, it was quite simple. It was a man in a field with a piano.
Oh,
did you see this one?
Yes.
The Oatly one?
I was confused when I first saw it.
It's like milk made for humans. It's like milk but made for humans. Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Sounds like an emo song from the 90s. Sounds like Dashboard Confessionals or something. Wow.
It's was like, that for oat milk?
It's like a business, but with no sales. I built a company without sales. Wow. The repossessed in my house. Wow. My wife married the pool boy.
Who the fuck is this guy and why is he singing?
I don't know.
No cow.
No cow.
No. Wow. No cow. No. Wow.
It went from bad to worse. It went from Dashboard Confessionals into Hall & Oates.
Wow. Wow. No cow. Ha.
I don't know who you are, Oatly guy. And I happen to actually have a carton of your fucking milk in my refrigerator because my wife likes the oat milk.
Mm-hmm. There's so many milks now.
Yeah, there's so many milks. But this is just plain awful. Yeah. Dude. I mean, I realize that sometimes awful gets just as much attention as good does. It actually probably gets more attention than good does because, you got guys like me playing it over and over again on my podcast. And, somebody's going to go look up the commercial. But what a disturbing commercial. And it's only 30 seconds long. So literally, listen to this again. This is the actual commercial. I am not editing this in any way. I do not stop the commercial. This is the entire commercial. Listen.
It's like milk.
Milk.
Made for humans.
Humans.
It's like milk.
Milk.
But made for humans.
Humans.
Wait, that was 30 seconds? But I had more of my song. Who is the advertising genius? Who's the advertising genius that was like, okay, I can imagine the guy from the CEO from Oatly is like, listen, I know this sounds crazy, but back in the 90s, I was in my own band called the Milk Duds. That's how I came up with the name. That's how I came up with the whole thing. Okay. And we had this song and I've just taken it and I've reframed it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I can see the advertising executive is about to make this purchase order. And he's like, this is genius, John. This is genius.
It's really.
Can you play a little bit of us?
Wow. No cow.
And the guy's like, this is brilliant. But John, that song is 20 and a half minutes long. It's like a Pink Floyd song. And then he goes, what are we going to do? Let's just play it as long as it'll go. We'll just play the 30 seconds and just stop.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with us, John. John, make a song that's 30 seconds long. Beginning, middle, end. That's it. Don't just stop halfway through. If you're going to have a bad song, let's have the whole bad song, not half the bad song. Because it was just getting good. It was going to be good, it was just getting good when you got into the Hall & Oates version of it.
Yeah.
When you went from Dashboard Confessionals to Hall & Oates. You went from three-year-old playing the piano to Dashboard Confessionals.
Wow, no cow.
Then you got into the poppy, here we go, one more time.
It's like milk.
Milk.
Made for humans.
Humans. He didn't even say an H. Did an H happen there? I don't think an H happened. Humans.
It's like milk.
Milk.
But made for humans. Wow. No cow. No. Wow.
No cow.
No.
It's kind of growing on me.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to stop right now because then we're going to be playing the Oatly song. I just gave four free Oatly commercials. Yeah. he paid CBS $1 million to play the 30 seconds, but he's paying me nothing. And I'm just, but do you see what I'm saying? Like, if he's going to go into the, if he's going to get good, let it get good and, go ahead and spend the extra $1 million and buy the other 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That's what I say. 60. Or maybe he should have done the halftime show. I'm not. Listen, it probably would have been more understandable than the Weeknd's halfway show. I mean, a halftime show. That was like a movie. It was like a weird, long music video. As far as I was concerned, you watch it?
Yes. Yeah. I did watch it.
I like the Weeknd's music. I'm into it. Yeah, I've been into it since the SimCole FM days.
Yeah.
Do you remember Simcoe FM?
Oh, yes, I do.
My successful streaming radio station.
I was on it a couple of times.
Yeah, that's true.
My friend Kimmy was your co-host for a little while.
Funded by oil. By Big Oil. True story.
That's right.
True story. Or funded by bullshit. I'm not sure which one, how it all went down.
But
yeah, that's anyway.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Have you been watching The Bachelor?
Yes, I have. I caught up finally.
What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, there's a reason I stopped watching it 10 years ago.
Because it's formulaic?
And it's the same reason that I'm hate watching it now.
Okay. Really? You're hate watching it?
Yeah. There's something sad about it with the rose ceremonies, and you just don't get picked. Like, you're not getting picked for a team.
Ladies,
you're not
John,
good enough.
This is the final rose tonight. You're ready.
Chris Harrison.
Cha-ching! Every time you hear Chris Harrison go like this.
Ladies, Sean, this is the final rose tonight. You're ready.
Get ready.
Get ready. Get ready for what? Get ready to be dumped.
Yeah.
Get ready to be ghosted. Yeah. I mean.
But it is one of those things where you want to know what happens. So if you do watch it.
Yeah, you're
just
get involved
keep
in it.
Now, watching it.
It's extremely formulaic. And there's a reason why it's formulaic is because they've figured out what works. Right.
Yes.
So there's always some lady who's going to leave and then come back, or some guy, depending on which version you're watching. Mm-hmm. They're always going to leave. They were kind of like hitting it off. They're going to come back, but they're not going to win. That doesn't happen. They're not the winners.
Yeah.
They come back for a couple episodes.
They're like
and
a
then,
little
yeah.
agitation, a little drama.
That's right. There's always the mole. There's always someone who the producers put in there who either they know is mentally unstable and going to cause drama.
Yeah.
Like this season, there's a woman on there that's extremely
the
mentally. Yeah. Is that what they call her? The queen? I haven't
she
watched all the episodes.
The
the queen. She is extraordinarily mentally unstable.
Yeah.
And it's so much so that I think there's some years when they're mentally unstable and the producers know it and pick them on purpose.
Yeah.
And then there's some years when I actually think that they're actors.
Yes.
They have to be.
Right.
There's no way they come in. Nobody comes in acting like that.
Yeah.
No one. No. Listen, I know there are shit stirrers out there and there are people who make life miserable for all those around them because they get high entertainment out of it or because that's just the people that they are.
Right.
But I find it hard to believe that the producers would... they would get past the producer's eye. Like they wouldn't see that right off the bat.
No.
You know they're making a conscious decision to do that.
Absolutely. Well, because if you had just a bunch of normal people sitting around, you know, going on dates, what's the drama in that?
Yeah. And so it's always the same to me. Like they come in, there's obviously a few connections, you know, a few connections hit right off the bat. Every time they have one of these cocktail parties, there's someone's fighting for attention from someone else. Someone's always getting too much attention. Someone never got enough attention.
Yep.
They're always having the same conversations. The girls are always talking with that fucking vocal fry, which I you know what vocal fry is?
No.
My dad and I had a big argument when I was 13. I had to go to therapy for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, wow. I'm so glad you went deep with me tonight.
Yeah, you were vulnerable.
Yeah, you were vulnerable. And that's all I've been asking for this entire process. I came in here open and ready to find my wife. And all I wanted was someone to be vulnerable and open. Mm-hmm. And you did that tonight. You
get
did
a rose.
That. You get a rose.
Ladies, Sean, this is the final rose tonight. You're ready.
Every conversation is basically the same. Every time they get down and they sit down, you know, they have an individual date. So those of you who have not seen the show, there's a reason why it's the most popular show on television. And I know I'm not the only guy out there watching this show. There's whole like guy watching parties that guys have.
For 20 years, 25 years, something like that.
25 seasons. So I think, 25 seasons. So I think it's been close to 20 years. But 20 guys or 20 girls walk into the room. There's one bachelor or bachelorette. They tend to be, you know, people that are promoted heavily. They're very good looking human beings and they're looking for their husband or wife, quote unquote. The whole point at the end of the show is to get engaged, but they eliminate people as they go along. And how they eliminate them is they give the ones they want to keep a rose, and the ones who don't get a rose then get asked to leave the show. Right off the bat, they eliminate like seven of them. Like the first episode, seven people go. And then the next episode, another seven people go. So by the time you get to episode number five, the seasons are rather short. You get to episode number five, there's only like five or six people left. Mm-hmm. When you get to three or four, depending on which season it is, then you get what's called the, what is it called?
Hometowns.
The hometowns, where you go and you meet the families. Mm-hmm. But then you get the overnight stays, which are the, what are they called? The bachelor pad or something? I don't know what it's called. But they give them the key to the honeymoon suite, essentially. Uh-huh. And they say, you know, they give them the choice. Hey, if you want to go. And so one girl, one time, she got plowed by all three bachelors in one night.
What?
Yeah. What was her name? The one with the pilot Pete or whatever it was. Do you remember her? Oh, you didn't watch that one.
No, okay. I haven't watched it. This is the first time I'm watching it.
But it's
in
always 10 years. The same bullshit. They go out on these group dates, which is all of them going on a date together, and they do some kind of like physical activity that makes it has nothing, no bearing on love or relationships whatsoever.
Yeah.
They ask them to get naked.
Yeah, he's like chopping wood he's chopping no shirt on.
Being healthy is important to me. I'm really self-aware and I'm very health conscious. I want my wife to be aware of her body too. So I've decided to take her out in the woods today and chop some wood. Oiled up with some Vaseline. And if you could get some close-ups of my nipples, I'd appreciate it. Right? He's like this incredibly handsome black guy who's just like, you know, as fit as a fiddle, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just like me. Fit as a fiddle. Yes. Same body type right here.
Same. You guys could be twins.
Same body type. Right here. So, so then, you know, he's out in the woods, he's chopping wood, and the girl's chopping wood, literally. Yeah. And then they go and they have dinner. And when they have dinner, it's the same fucking conversation every time. Just listen, Holly. Here's how the conversation goes. I'm so glad I have an opportunity to spend this time with you tonight. You know, I've really wanted this the whole time. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you picking me for this date. So tell me about yourself. Well, when I was 2 years old, I got an M&M stuck in my nose and the doctors had to take it out. And just for the rest of my time, I have had to have some therapy. It was a really traumatic experience.
Right. Yes.
They say their S's like that. And they have this tear in their throat. Right. And then every time without fail, the bachelor, the bachelorette, thank you for being vulnerable.
Yes.
That's all I've asked for in this process is being vulnerable. That's it. And then there's always some drama maker, like this emotionally unstable one, right? And there's always a sit down with the dramas, the people who are causing drama in the house, the bachelor, the bachelorette. I came here to find love, not for drama. And I've asked them to be transparent and vulnerable, and this is not what I want. And so they sit down with him and they always ask him a bunch of questions like, who started this? I don't want anybody talking, you know, and then they're like, listen, this is not the way to my heart. I didn't ask for this. And without a doubt, every time. So let's say there's two people in the room that are making trouble, but one of them is really the troublemaker and the other one is just kind of happens to be like, one is bullying and one is the person that's bullied. And they both go in the room for a sit down chat with Chris fucking Harrison and the goddamn bachelor. And then guess who gets kicked off the show? The person who was bullied without fail every time.
Yes, it's very true.
The troublemaker always stays. Mm-hmm. Almost to the last episode, the troublemaker stays because they know that's the show. That's it. That's the show.
The drama.
Because true love is not that fucking interesting. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So fun fact on this whole series is that one of the major producers of this is Heidi Fleiss's brother. And I went to his house one time.
Heidi Fleiss, the prostitute?
Yeah.
Well, the madam?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think she was turning tricks herself, too.
His name is Mike Fleiss.
Michael Fleiss?
Uh-huh. And
wow.
If you watch The Bachelor, you'll see him listed at the end. And I went to a party at his house one
Did you
time.
Really?
Yeah, my best friend.
Was there like a
LA.
Bunch of tail just hanging around there? Like, was it just like a scene out of a
yeah,
movie?
Yeah, it had this beautiful, you know, view of the, I think we were in Malibu or something.
Oh, wow. And Malibu's it was gorgeous. Just,
it was crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah.
How did you get hooked up with?
My best friend lived out there.
Oh, Mary?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. And she met him and then you guys
Well,
connected?
It was a friend of a friend and we got invited to the party and So.
Did they ask you to be on The Bachelor?
No.
No?
Thank God. I would never be on that show.
Would you have met Jeff on The Bachelor? Like if you had walked into if you were The Bachelorette or Jeff was The Bachelor, would the two of you have connected, do you think?
I think so.
You'd like to think so.
I would like to think so.
But it's hard.
It's so weird on there. I mean, it's so weird. It's just a weird situation.
It's a totally
but I
strange
wish
situation.
The best. I wish the best and wished love like a Care Bear heart beaming.
But do you actually think that these people are falling in love with each other? I think it's happened sometimes.
Yes.
Right? Like the last season, the Bachelorette didn't even make it through episode number one and she was already hooking up with some, they already went off the set. But my thought is that if you put 20 women in a room, even if Astrid was one of them, I think it would be really hard to figure out in a short truncated amount of time who your soulmate is.
Yes.
That's you groom that shit over years, right? You put a bunch of beautiful women in a room and it's just like throwing darts at the dartboard. I mean, you're just looking to hit something. Yeah. So disingenuous. And then they all say they want to get, I want to get ready to settle down. I want to get engaged. Meanwhile, none of them, not one of them has stayed together.
Yeah.
Read the rules, Jackie Weaver. You can't just date everybody. I start in the rule book, Jackie Weaver.
You also can't be a cat.
Hi, Judge. It's me. I'm not a cat.
I'm ready to proceed.
I'm ready to proceed.
I'm wise.
I'm not a cat. So, but I do have to say that I am addicted to kind of the dating show, like all the dating shows. I am addicted to them. And so I go through phases.
The 90 Day Fiancé that you got me going down that path was crazy.
So I decided, listen, I think I during the pandemic, I've kind of watched all the dating shows, the current ones that I'm interested in, right? So I decided, let me go back and look at some of the ones that got me started in dating shows altogether. And one of the shows that I am very fond of watching right now on YouTube, and they have 2,600 episodes, so I think I could be watching these forever and never see the same one twice, is The Love Connection. Do you remember The Love Connection back in the 80s? We'll be back in two and two. Chuck Woolery. Yeah, he was a fucking shitbag now, by the way. Total shitbag. But anyway, that's
disappointing.
It's really disappointing, but that's a different conversation for a different day. But you remember The Love Connection?
It was great.
Yes.
When they would tally up the votes. Because the audience voted. The audience voted, right?
The audience voted. Here's how it went. For those of you who weren't even alive at this time, this is back in the 80s. This started off as a local Los Angeles show and quickly got picked up and went at 5 days a week. This show would be on. And here it is, a 30-minute show. So it's real quick. Basically, man and three women or woman and three men would be put together. The man or the woman would pick somebody to go out on a blind date with, or they would allow the audience to choose somebody to go on a blind date with. So it would work either way, right? And so they would basically give like the guy would watch some of these videotapes and he would
say, videos are funny too.
I know the videos are hilarious. So the guy would say, I want to go out with, this
number two,
whatever. Right? And so they'd go on a blind date. And then a couple of weeks later, they'd come back to the show and they would be asked to give their version of what happened.
Oh,
now,
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
about 50% of the time it went well, about 50% of the time it was a shit show.
Right.
And the crazy thing about the Love Connection when I watch it now is, when they were going on these dates, they were picking each other up from their houses.
Yes.
You would never do that in the year 2021.
Correct.
Never would you allow a person that you don't know to show up at your house. They'd like show up at the house. They'd get changed. You know, they'd go to the beach and then they'd get changed at their houses.
Yes, that's right.
Like, you go to jail if you ask somebody to come back to your house and change these days. I mean, the dating rules are completely.
Yes.
It's funny how backwards we have become so quickly. Like, people were trusting back then. They just, come over to my house, pick me up, we'll have we'll have a glass of wine, and
right,
then we'll go out. This is back when you would actually have like a date that would last the day instead of a date that lasts 15 minutes and then, you ghost to them while they pay the bill, right?
It's so true.
It's like you have no fucking chance these days. I mean, listen, I have some friends. I have some close people to me that are still, that are not still single, but are single. And they're going through the gamut. And they're going on like 3 or 4 dates a week.
Yes.
And it's just a nightmare of fucking stories that are happening.
Our culture is so now ingrained in instant.
Yeah, it's like you're swiping left in real life. It's like if you don't like somebody, the girl will leave before she even finishes the first cocktail. I have to go to the bathroom. Yeah. I'll be right back. And then they never come back. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, fuck it. Don't worry about it. You know, whatever. I just got ghosted.
Find another.
You got ghost. You got ghost. That's so crazy to me. I can't imagine not at least giving somebody a drink's worth of conversation.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a night.
A meal.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
So this is a whole blind date show. Here's but they did have their creepy people too. Listen to this. This is just the introduction. I'm not going to play the whole show. Quite frankly, some of it is visual, and so it's really hard to translate. But listen.
And you know, next guest, he enjoys all types of music and loves to dance. He says that he's been misreading signals and has had to slow down lately. And he claims that his part-time job is a great way to meet women. Please welcome Ray Bennett.
Ray Bennett. Oh. Ray Bennett, by the way, has a rat tail like they were back in the 80s.
Yes.
He's about 5'1". He weighs nothing, right? He comes out with a shirt that's 7 sizes too big for him. Stonewashed jeans with a big belt that's pulled up to his chest and boots that are untied. And he's just like, you know, workman boots. He's a character. So listen.
Ray, how are you? So you have this great job that helps you meet women.
Yeah, actually.
Are you a bartender, a disc jockey, or what?
Better.
No!
Better.
I'm part-time. I promote for rock and roll bands on the Sunset Strip. And I just have the option of just meeting women all day long.
All day.
Yeah, Chuck's like, I've heard that one before. By the way, what is promoting bands part time on the Sunset Strip
mean? Do you think he knows Nikki Sixx?
Yeah, probably. He's probably getting texts from Nikki Sixx too. I think promoting bands, it bears out, but my personal opinion is promoting bands on the Sunset Strip means you're handing out flyers for free tickets to the show.
Yes, yeah.
Right.
I love it.
Promoting rock and roll bands on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, you know, pass
like
out Gazzards
or places like, what is it?
Gazzari's, the Troubadour, the Roxy. So I'm just out passing out flyers all day long.
Passing out flyers.
Passing out flyers. By the way, I heard that clip before, so I knew that was coming. But even when I heard it the first time, I just looked at him and I thought the Sunset Strip back in 1984, you know, what you got is like it's a Tuesday afternoon and someone's about to play the 3 p.m. slot at the Whiskey A Go Go where no one is. I'm like, hey man, you want to pass these out and give you some free tickets to the show?
All day long.
All day long. Listen to the cockiness of this. All day long.
Is he doing a snap too?
He's going to cocking his head like all day long. He's got that head snap. Uh-huh. But listen.
Rat tail flowing in the wind.
Yeah, rat tail flowing in the wind. Never seen a dentist in his life. Never seen a dentist, not one time.
Have any of these women that you've met ever turned into a serious relationship, or is it all just kind of superficial?
It's superficial, but gotta tell you, if I've had like 40 or 50 like one night stands all day long.
Yeah. Oh my God, this guy.
By the way, no, he has not. Those are called prostitutes. When you pay for them, they're not one night stands. They're hookers.
Just meeting these women on strip.
Listen to the audience. The audience doesn't even know what to make of this guy because he's coming up and he's like, I've had 40 or 50 one night stand just passing out flyers on the Sunset.
That's all you have to do.
Yeah. Meanwhile, when I start passing out flyers on the Sunset, is like a flyer to this? No, I want to suck your dick.
Who cares about the show?
All day.
I don't care about this show. You're the 5'1" man I've always wanted. Are those boots?
Do you know the band?
Yeah. Not really. Of course I do. Yeah. Of course I do.
Can you get me into
I'm going to get front stage. Did you mean backstage? No, I mean front stage. I got front stage passes. I got front stage passes. Hey, man, you pass out these flyers and we get front stage passes.
All day long. Yeah.
Hey, hey, you want to go see China's Milk with, you know, a Mother Titbone later on? No, but I want to attack you like a tiger. What are you? What are you? 4'9"?
Where do you live?
Yeah. When's the last time you washed that hair? A month ago? I love you. Do you own a toothbrush? I want to suck your dick. Do you even have a shower where you live?
Grunge.
Yeah. Ray, yeah. Or Ray is the kind of guy who takes advantage of women. Like, I can get you a free ticket if you suck my dick.
Right.
That's probably more like what's happening.
Correct.
It's I won't ask you to define that. I just take your word. And you say you had to slow down.
Yeah. Usually because I'm...
Usually because of the chlamydia. Usually because of herpes, but you know.
That's just a little wild.
Yeah. I just
take a little break.
I just take a break. I pass out less flyers.
Well, he's only doing it part time.
He's only
anyways.
Doing it part time. What is he doing the other part time? I got to guess. He's probably taking penicillin. He's probably living at home with his mom.
Yes.
With these women, I'm usually a very aggressive person, but I usually now, over the years, I'll let them do the initiating. Because, you know, I've been slapped like a couple of times. It's like, whammo, whammo.
Oops, whammo. Whammo. That is an 80s term all day long. Whammo, whammo.
All day
long. Yeah.
Hey, baby. It's me, Ray, the part-time hater-outer. Do you want to go to the Whiskey-A-Go-Go tonight?
Actually, it's not for tonight. And it's three.
The electric butterfly. Actually, it's not for today. It's they're going they're
the
on right now they're on right
show.
Now they're on right now. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I know it's a, but I know these guys, they're super great. You want to go?
Electric butterfly. Yeah.
But listen, before you do, would you mind sucking my dick? Whammo, whammo. I had to slow down. I was getting arrested too much. I had to slow down. I'm on the FBI's most wanted list. I just slowed down. I was giving away too many front stage passes. Oh my god!
And they're sitting there going, "I go, what'd you do that for?" He goes, "I'm not ready for
it." He did you notice that he said he? He said he. He said, "What are you doing that for?" He said, "I'm wondering if Ray maybe swings both ways." Hey, listen, with a guy like Ray,
well, there's so much to go around.
Yeah, he's just getting hit. He's just getting hit all day long. You never know. I mean, guy, girl, what does it matter? It's the swinging 80s. It doesn't. Yeah. Little chlamydia never killed anybody.
Or it's all just like, I let them do the initiating.
Oh, Ray, man. So anyway, love connection.
Well, how does it, did they make a love connection to Ray?
You know, here's the funny thing. So I thought this is just a
train
wreck.
I mean, if I was on that show, I would be like, specifically, do not match me
up
with someone.
Yeah.
Like,
I do not
Ray.
Want Ray. Yeah.
I do not want Ray.
I just put on the, in my video, I'd be like, I like long walks on the beach, great dinners, wonderful conversation, and anybody but Ray.
Yeah, yep. Nobody like Ray.
Yeah. Please minus the cattails. Or what are they? Yeah, cattails.
Rat tail.
By the way, I had a little tiny, like, rat tails were a thing. And for those of you that don't know, you know, because they're back in style almost now, right? Rat tails are just this little strand of hair that would hang out in the back. But some people, like, made them, like, really long. And, yeah. You know, but then they have shaved on the
sides.
So it looked strange. Anyway, it was a thing back in the 80s. People loved rat tails. I mean, these kids were running around with rat tails all over the place. So I thought I'd get a rat tail, right? So my dad was like, no. But my mom was like, I'll let you grow it out just a little bit. So it was like an inch or an inch and a half long.
Yeah.
And even at that age, even at 8, I was like, I think I'll pass on the rat tail.
Yeah,
that's not for
it's
me.
Not a good look.
No, it's not a good look. So have you been on a blind date? You've never been on a blind date. I think you mentioned this in another conversation.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
I have been on 3 blind dates, all, you know, associated with the application Tinder.
Uh-huh.
And they
weren't...
Well,
is that a blind date if you're going, if you're actually picking each other?
Well,
isn't
when you
a
don't
blind
talk?
Date when somebody else sets you up?
No, I think, well, I guess you can't set yourself up on a blind date, can you? Hey, you want to go on a blind date? Unless it's like a blind person, then, you know, then you're truly going on a blind date. But no, I guess you're right about that. But, well, I mean, listen, on Tinder, there
was a person you hadn't met before.
A person I had never met and had very little interaction with in the first place. And all 3 of them were a train wreck.
All
day long. And so you can go back and listen to, there's episodes where I talk about it, but one of them ended up in a tree.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And the other one, we got kicked out of a bar because she was trying to follow me into the bathroom to have sex. Yeah. But so I was, then I decided, let me flirt around the internet and see what the kids are up to these days. What's good blind dating advice? Uh-huh. And I found this guy named Matt Hussey is his name.
Mr. Hussey.
All day
I do
long.
Declare.
I do declare. He gives some dating advice to the kids. And I just want you to listen to how horrible. I think you're going to agree with me on this. He sounds serious. He sounds like he knows what the fuck he's talking about. But I actually think he's making this shit up as he goes along. You okay. ready?
Yeah.
There's three pieces of advice he gives people to make dating go smoother. Here's number one.
I have three quick ways for you to do this. The first one is touch early and often.
Matt, what the fuck are you talking about? You don't go walk in. I understand maybe what he's talking about is that a way of flirting is...
Touch on the arm.
Touch on the leg.
No leg touch.
In the vagina.
No, that's not what it meant.
Because I could see
some... face touching, hair touching. It really honestly would just only be arm.
Yeah, arm. That's
front,
it.
Front, the, arm. The forearm.
Yeah, or maybe if you like things are getting... Like you know that there's a connection there, maybe the back, right?
Yes.
Maybe the back, like if you're walking together, the back.
Maybe
you want to grab hands. But here's the fucking thing. Don't touch early and often. No, that's a fucking really bad idea. Yeah, you don't know who this person is, and you're creeping them out by touching them all over the place. I don't care what you look. Well, maybe it has to do something. Maybe if you're hot, you can touch me all you want. But if you look like me, you don't go touching around people.
I have three quick ways for you to do this.
The first one
is touch early and often. Now, what most people do, the mistake they make, is they say, I don't know this person very well, and I certainly don't want to seem too keen, so I'm not going to get very
most
tactile
people are right.
This person.
Most people are right. That's right. You've got a good head on your shoulders if you think that.
You leave it before introducing touch, the more awkward touch becomes. So now, for a guy, the most painstaking, horrible scenario is when you've barely touched the woman throughout the entire date,
that's
and then at the end you want to kiss her.
The most painful thing that you can do in a date is when you go to kiss her and you haven't even had your hand in her vagina yet.
You haven't even made inappropriate touching all night long, you haven't even seen her nipples
and now you're expected to give her a kiss. It's really, quite frankly, it's embarrassing.
It's the most painful
thing. It's embarrassing. You can't just do that, Jackie Weaver. You can't just kiss without touching my balls first. Read the rules, Jackie Reva.
That's very painful.
Here's advice. Here's no. Do you see where Matt's giving horrible advice here? He's asking people to basically assault people before they even know who they are.
Yeah,
the second thing is don't sit opposite each other. So don't be in that.
No.
This makes no fucking sense.
Is he condoning sitting on the same side of a booth?
He's condoning sitting on the same side of the
booth.
No,
I don't even do that with Jeff.
I don't do it with Astrid. I mean, on occasion I do it with Astrid. Like if there's a TV or we want to watch something.
Right.
Or if we're having an amorous moment, maybe.
Hey, baby, slide over.
Can I touch you early and often?
Yeah, slide on over.
This is the most... Listen to this. Just listen. Listen to the 45 seconds.
Don't sit opposite each other. So don't be in that place where you go for a meal or even when you're at a table at a bar and you sit completely opposite each other, facing each other like it's a mirror reflection. Immediately, you end up creating awkwardness because, of course, when there's a silence, there's nowhere for you to look. When someone's directly in front of you and there's a silence.
First of all, this makes no sense whatsoever. The whole time you're going to have to be... Well, first of all, I would never allow that.
Yeah.
I would never even allow it if someone tried to sit next to me.
I wouldn't.
Like, no.
I don't care how hot you are.
No.
I would just be like, I don't want to turn my... I'm going to get a crick in my neck. Yeah. I'm going to get a crick in my... I've got a bad back and I don't... Second of all, he's saying that if you have an awkward silence when you're staring at each other, then that's a bad thing. It's awkward. But if you have an awkward silence when you're staring, I think there's going to create awkward silences when you're staring out. And so listen.
Talk about awkward. If you're sitting next to the person and they've got their hands all over you.
Yeah.
I mean.
They've got their hand up your dress. They're sitting next to you. He's asking someone to finger bang you on the same side of the booth the first second they meet you.
Look anywhere in order to actually... create this moment of, well, I'm distracted. You can look at your phone, but then that seems rude. You can't look over his shoulder or to your left. Whereas if you're sitting either adjacent to someone or next to them in like a park bench style, you can watch the world together. It's almost like your people watching.
Park bench style.
Matt.
Park bench style.
Park bench style. Okay. What if you're sitting
meet
at like a...
Meet me at the park. Yeah, meet me at the I'd park. Like to touch you oh. early and
oh,
often.
Oh, by the way, that's his third piece of advice, is to go outside if you're painfully shy. What if you're at like a four-cornered table? What do? Just slide right in next to him? The awkward silence is going to be there, regardless if you're sitting next to them.
Plenty of things that can fill up 45 minutes worth of a dinner together. Plenty. Where do you come from?
Write some questions down.
What do you do?
Absolutely.
What's happening?
I have never.
What do you think about this? It's, you know.
But I think you and I are blessed in one way, and that is we never are at a loss for words. Yes. We never run it's out true. Of things to say.
That is true.
Yeah. I mean, just look at our podcast. We're 48 episodes in, and I'm still going. Here's number three, which I think is quite frankly just like the icing on the cake. I can understand how some people who actually are having trouble in their dating life would take this advice and think that this is good advice. No. Don't sit next to somebody. Do not touch them early and often. When you are starting to receive the social cues that flirtation is going on, that's when you touch. And that shouldn't be at first. That should be way down the line, like an hour or two or six drinks in. Mm-hmm. That's when, and a touch, like a touch on the shoulder, a touch on the back, a touch on the arm. Not anywhere else. The other places are no-go zones.
Maybe my toe.
Yeah. And when it's time to kiss at the end of the date, you'll know if your toe. Can I lick your feet? Hi, my name's Brian. I'm your divine date. Can I lick your feet?
Awkward silence.
Matt Hussey told me to touch. Awkward silence. If you want to create awkward silence, touch early and often. Touch early and often. That's the worst dating advice I ever heard.
Do something that involves you actually having some level of external focus. And I'm going to say this bluntly. The worse you are at conversation, the more external focus you need.
No, Matt. Listen, the worse you are at external conversation, the less you should be dating, right? If you can't talk externally.
Yeah,
you shouldn't. Let me keep going.
Do something that involves you actually having some level of external focus. And I'm going to say this bluntly. The worse you are at conversation, the more external focus you need. So if you're amazing at conversation, you can take someone into the corner of a quiet bar and you can talk all night and create this amazing connection through your conversation. If you're someone who's a little more nervous and you know that it takes you a little while to warm up, you have to do something where there's external activity. Now, that might be something on the more extreme end of, say, a museum where there's tons of external activity, or a comedy show where you're both focused on something outside of yourselves.
Listen, that's not a date. If you go on a blind date and you take someone to a comedy show, that's not a date. That is you going to a show together with somebody.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to a park bench so you don't have to stare someone in the eyes because that makes you uncomfortable.
Park like, style.
I know. Okay. Maybe I get
Gangnam
that.
Style.
Yeah, Gangnam style. That's
a park bench style.
Hey, it's nice to meet you. My name is Brian. I've got a great idea for us. We're going to do a scavenger hunt separately.
Hey, meet me in the park. I'll be the one with the trench coat on scene at the bench.
I'll be the one ready to touch you early and often. A scavenger hunt separately. We're gonna do a scavenger hunt for the next 3 to 4 hours, and when we meet back up, I'm gonna touch you.
We'll know if we like each other.
That's the way it goes. I'm not good with conversation. Matt Hussey told me focus on something else besides you.
Yeah.
The most ridiculous advice I've ever heard. You got to learn how to speak. That's just the way that it is. You got to learn how to hold a conversation. I'm sorry. There's no two ways about it, but you're going to have to learn how to speak. And, that's
the way it goes.
That's the way it goes. All right. There's plenty more. We'll take it into another conversation.
All day long.
Love that guy. He's my favorite. What's his name? Tony? Todd?
Ken.
Ken.
Ken?
Kenny?
Kenny?
Todd? Tony? Teddy? Tommy?
Day.
www.tcbpodcast is where you go to watch all the videos, listen to all the audio episodes. Our entire library is there. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. That's where you get exclusive content we don't provide anywhere else. And it's just good. You can DM us there. You can slide into our DMs at The Commercial Break.
And
we will respond. I promise. I have been responding to everybody that's been communicating. And 470 584-8449 is where you can text us or leave us a message if you'd like to be a part of our games episode coming up later on in the month. And make sure you follow us on Clubhouse if you have Clubhouse at Brian Green, B-R-Y-A-N-G-R-E-E-N, at TCB Chrissy with a K-R-I-S-S-Y to get notified about when we're going to be doing our bonus Clubhouse episode. I'm really excited about this.
Me too.
We're going to do it.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, we're going to do it in the like the beginning or middle of March on a weekend afternoon. So make sure you do that and follow us. If you have Clubhouse, if you need an invite to Clubhouse, let us know.
Yeah.
Because we actually have a number of invites.
I know. I've got a few.
Yeah. We'd be happy to give them out.
Yes.
So we look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to joining you next time here on The Commercial Break. It's just been so much fun.
It has.
And make sure you go to patreon.com/thecommercialbreak. We would just love it if you would become a financial supporter of ours. It allows us to provide more content for you. And that's it. That's the only goal, is to free us up a little bit so we, you know, to do other things like make content. And
to touch early and often.
Touch early and often and avoid you. Avoid eye contact with you. To avoid conversation, awkward pauses, and touch early and often.
You can't do that, Jackie Weaver! You can't just go on a date and not talk
Read
to somebody. Read the rules, Jackie Weaver. Until next time, I love you.
I love you.
Bye! Bye.
The Commercial Break Friday episode can now be found on Patreon at patreon.com/thecommercialbreak. New episodes are available on YouTube every Tuesday. Visit www.tcbpodcast.com for more information on all of our content. Follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram or leave us a message at 470-584-8449. The Commercial Break is written and produced by Brian Green, co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley. The Commercial Break. Tune it in and ride it out.